The text for my message this evening is from the Old Testament lesson that wasn't read, but I'd like to read part of that for you at this time, picking up with the same theme of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God to bring faith, life, and salvation. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." You may be seated. Lord, bless this message tonight. Bless your word in our hearing and believing and living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's good to be with you all this evening. For those of you who aren't with the baptismal families that maybe have traveled and are visitors with us this evening, I was on vacation last week, and truly, last Saturday night, I felt bad that we left Pastor Adel here all by himself, and I even said a little prayer for him that all would go well, and it did, I'm sure. Our vacation was in the Rocky Mountains, and we spent a beautiful week next to a rushing mountain stream, crystal clear stream that was, along with many other little streams and rivulets all over those mountains, bringing life to grasses and flowers and trees. It was very beautiful, and we all know how important and powerful water is. God provides the soil, God provides the sunshine, but especially He provides the water to bring forth life. A scientist might look at the gift of water and see the miracle that it provides in what's called photosynthesis, an amazing miracle in which a plant is able to take the carbon dioxide out of the air and the water and the ground, bring it together to create the building blocks of life, to produce that stem, that stalk, that trunk, those branches and leaves, and ultimately that fruit that you and I are all the beneficiaries of. And if it wasn't for those things, we would not be alive ourselves. But in many places, God compares water, physical water, to His Word. And that's what this sermon and that's what the lessons are that we heard about this evening. The Word of God is a powerful thing, more powerful even than water, of course. It's by the Word of God that water itself and life itself were created in the first place. The Word of God is so important because it's the Word of God that not only gives us our physical life, but even more than that, it gives us an inner life, a spiritual life that is just as real, in fact, in many ways, more real than the outward physical life that we are so familiar with. We pay attention to those thoughts that are going on inside of our hearts, and we know whether things inside there are good or bad, whether we have doubts or whether we have assurance, whether we have hope or whether we have despair. God's Word wants to help us, especially in those things. Let's talk about, first of all, Isaiah's situation and ours. These are beautiful words. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it does not return, but it brings forth, forth the sprout and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Isaiah spoke those powerfully encouraging words to a people who unfortunately were actually despising God's word. Isaiah chapter 5. "You despise the word of the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah chapter 30. "You despise the word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them." Recently, I don't know if you saw it on television, but a U.S. senator got upset with a nominee for a government position simply because that nominee expressed his own Christian faith in salvation alone in Jesus Christ. Now, that's exactly what Isaiah the prophet taught and what Jesus our Lord himself taught as well. Isaiah 43, "I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior." Isaiah chapter 45, "There is no God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior." There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And Jesus himself summarized it all, this, all of these words so beautifully in the Gospel of John, when he simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. But these teachings of the Bible often enrage people. They make people very angry. They were the very teachings of Jesus that got him crucified. And they are the very teachings of the Bible that often bring forth all sorts of persecution in the world today. People don't like to hear these words because they want to believe in their own way of salvation. They don't want to believe in a way outside of themselves, a way that calls them to repentance for their sins, forgiveness of their sins in Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, rather than some other effort that they might put forth of good works, which always fall short, but instead to have that ultimate trust in God and his forgiveness. It's for this reason that people often attack the Word of God in all sorts of ways. For example, you hear this said sometimes about the Bible. You really can't trust it. You can't believe it. It was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, and then it was translated into Latin, and then to German, and then into English. And so you know how things are. Things get lost in translation. So you can't really trust the Bible and say that it is the Word of God. How can you be sure? Well, this is either a problem of great ignorance or blatant lies. Because the fact of the matter is that, yes, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, but we still have the most reliable ancient manuscripts of the Bible in those two languages, and we still study them today to improve upon our translations. And the fact of the matter is that today, in this 21st century, we have more tools to study the Bible and to know it perfectly and purely than any Christians who have ever lived before us. God provides the gifts that we need to come to faith in him in his word. Another attack against the Bible is often that it is so full of contradictions. These attacks are often leveled against the human authors of the Bible who are describing the same event. But it might be two or three different people, like Matthew, Mark, or Luke, all talking about the same thing, but they talk about it differently. But I want you to remember this. This is very important. A difference is not a contradiction. In fact, a difference is exactly what's expected when different witnesses say they are seeing the same thing, because they're all seeing it from a little bit different angle. And so when people complain about how things in the Bible are worded just a little bit differently in one chapter to the next, it's simply part of the way God reveals his will to us through the eyes and the ears and the mouths and the pen of human beings. No, things are not lost in translation, and there are no contradictions and errors in the Bible. The more you read, the more you see how it all perfectly fits together beautifully. But I'm not going to spend any more time trying to defend the Bible. I'll save that for other Bible classes and opportunities that we have to answer questions that you might have that have been raised in a way criticizing the Bible. Let's talk, though, about the goodness of God's Word and how powerful it is, as I said, to bring forth not only physical life, but spiritual life, to actually bring God into our hearts and lives, just as this happened moments ago with this little boy, Lane. God's Word was applied to him in water in baptism. And that is a new beginning for any human being that goes through that. And even the words that you heard read today in our script, in our worship service, are like that as well. They are the words of life, the words that can change things and take over what's bad and make it good. This year in Vacation Bible School, I taught the older children about the Hebrew king Josiah. Josiah lived at a time when people had pretty well forgotten about the Word of God. I mean, literally, it was completely forgotten. The Bible itself was lost somewhere under a pile of clutter in the temple until Josiah ordered the temple cleaned up, and they found the Bible and began to read it again and rejoice in it. I told the children how important the Word of God is, and I used a little illustration that goes like this. Imagine you crawled up in your attic one day and you found two boxes that belonged to your long-lost great-great-great-great-great-whatever grandfather who had actually fought in the Civil War. Now, one of those boxes contained his physical things, his uniform, his hat, his boots, and maybe a picture of himself and some of his fellow soldiers. That would be a pretty awesome discovery, and I think all of us would be amazed to have a box like that of one of our relatives from the past. But there's another box that you find in that same attic. And in this box, there's something very different. No real physical things like that. No pictures, no uniforms, no weapons. But what you find in this box are your long-lost relative's letters. Letters that he wrote home to his mom and dad and brothers and sisters. Perhaps his own journal that describes all the experiences he went through during that terrible war, all of the battles, everything that happened, and everything he thought about when he was part of that great sacrifice for the freedom of our country. I asked the children, which of those two boxes, if you could only pick one box, which box would you take with you? And they all answered, the box with the letters, the box with the words, because those words reveal the heart of your relative. Just like the words that we have in the Bible, this Bible is like a box of letters that God has given to us. And in all of those letters, he reveals his heart to us. His heart is a heart that gives us a warning against sin. But his heart is also a heart of love that gives us promises of forgiveness so that our failures, so that all of the things we've done wrong in our lives do not have to hang around our necks forever. They do not have to control us and destroy us and hurt our lives as we, in being hurt by them, start hurting other people around us. No, these things are wiped away, forgiven. I mentioned the quality of water providing photosynthesis at the beginning of the message. One of the other interesting qualities of water is it's considered really the only universal solvent. It practically dissolves everything, and given it enough time, it can do that. And that is the way the Word of God also works in our lives, like a beautiful rain shower. It washes away the dirt, it cleanses, and it purifies. And so when we come to church and hear the Word of God, and when we hear it in our own reading, in our own homes, and in our family devotions, as we share the Word of God with one another, we receive the heart of God, God's Son, who came and suffered the judgment of sin for us in his life and death and resurrection to take away our sin and to give us a renewal of life that begins internally, invisibly, and spiritually, but always results in realities, physical realities, the fruit of faith, the fruit of love. God's Word is the source of our spiritual and our moral sanity. I don't know if you ever thought about that word, sanity. It comes from a Latin word, sanitas, that means health. God's Word brings us our health, our life, and our salvation in every way. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, thank you for the water of life that you give to us on earth. Thank you for the water of your Word that also nourishes us and gives us life and strengthens us in our faith. Bless and be with us this evening and this day and the week ahead and all the days of our lives. Bless us to receive that Word and to experience the life and growth that it gives to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.